we want is that the influence of the U.S. be exercised to ensure, to encourage the equal participation of women in decision-making structures. That can only happen if, in fact, the U.S. includes in all its processes either gender conditionality, that their funds be made conditional on, in fact, promoting the meaningful participation of women. It's based on the fact that the experience of conflict for women is different. Women's needs are different, and unless they're directly representative, their concerns will be ignored. And particularly in our context, which is where there are peace deals in the offing with the Taliban in relationship to Pakistan or in the context of Afghanistan, then there is a real fear that the advances that have been made on women's rights will be set back. Women have been encouraged to come forward, to take up public office, to become active in NGOs. They, in fact, form the vanguard of a lot of these initiatives. Today, they are being targeted. Today, they're being pushed back into the home, and those who dare to continue working outside are being targeted, are being attacked, are being eliminated. So many expectations were raised that protecting, promoting the rights of the women in the region is a primary concern. And advances have been made. Now, that cannot be abandoned. I mean, that kind of setback would just so irreparably damage all the good that has happened.
So what would make your visit here successful?
You know, we're not that utopian that we feel that just because we talk to somebody, it's going to change the world. It's merely to keep hammering away and saying that women have capacity, that they are not the problem. They could be the solution. So it's a question of really trying to shift the discourse and hopefully working towards enabling certain legislation that we see beneficial to this cause. Even if it is not passed, we're not going to say that we're defeated, because these are very long uphill battles and we don't expect to win them in a day. But the only way you're going to change the discourse is to go on at it. I mean, think of this. In 2000, when the Women, Peace and Security Resolution was passed by the Security Council, the Big Boys Club, who would have thought it would have happened? It happened because of efforts, constant efforts by the women's movement, and yes, recognition on the part of the men there that why is it that the peace processes are collapsing? Why is it that within 5 years they collapse? Is it because we are excluding some of the most vital stakeholders in the peace process? And 50% of those vital stakeholders are women.
You use the term hammer away, hammer and constantly advocate your cause. Is there a time where it might go from advocating and being strongly passionate about your cause to nagging?
I think, and I would agree with you, I use an unfortunate word, hammering. It is to continuously go on and pushing. It's only nagging if you're not able to be creative in what you're saying, bringing in new evidence, bringing in new research. Then certainly I don't see that as nagging. Unfortunately, if we don't keep the agenda in front, it will slip away. Of course, I don't enjoy continuously and constantly pushing a one-line agenda. We hope that we will be bringing in a great deal more evidence-based research. One of the things that we are presenting are the community conversations, that is, the voices of women on the ground in India, in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, talking about how is it that they see security? How do they perceive militarization? What is it that makes them secure? What kind of peace would they want to see, which is feasible, which is possible? We're not just talking in terms of rhetoric, in terms of this is what we want. We're saying, look at the evidence. And also, we are pointing out what you're doing hasn't worked. Surely it's time to try something else.